Hello, everybody. It's Larry. How you doing? Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the Monday night Q&A coaching calls. Hope everybody's doing great. And I did get one question sent to me, so I am going to read that off right now. Okay. Do you ever contact banks directly to find out what REOs they might have available rather than waiting on them to show up on the MLS? We have an extreme amount of competition in Ohio for REOs. They almost always go above the list price. How do you handle this? Well, first of all, banks do not sell their properties directly to investors or anybody else. In fact, here's the way this works. The banks, once they get a foreclosure, they hire an asset manager to manage that asset. And the asset manager gets a – they secure the property, change the locks, winterize it if they need to, whatever they need to do in that respect. And even during the foreclosure process, they put the sign in the window that says, in case of emergency, notify this company, all that good stuff. But then they also hire that asset manager, and they do all that. And then the asset manager, once that property has been foreclosed on, then they hire a real estate agent to do a BPO, broker price opinion, to determine how much the property is worth. And then what happens is
– hold on.
Then what happens is they find an agent to put it on the MLS. Sometimes it's the same agent that gave them the BPO, sometimes not. But I will tell you this, banks will never, ever, ever sell a property directly to an investor or anybody else, nor will the asset manager, because most of your banks are public companies, and they have shareholders. And they must put their properties out to get the biggest potential exposure, I guess is the right word, available. Because think what Bank of America's shareholders would do if they knew Bank of America was selling directly to investors before it ever went on the market. There's no way that bank could stay in business because – they would have a big lawsuit on their hands. So, anyway, that I hope that answers that question. Now, what do you do about the competition? The further you move out of the city, the less competition there is. Ask me how I know. We don't buy a whole lot of properties in Charlotte. We don't buy a whole lot in Raleigh or Columbia or Greensboro or Greenville. A lot of them are in what we call the bedroom communities, the small towns and cities outside the big cities. So to help with the competition, if you go outside the area, then that's where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. So I hope that helped answer your question, and I hope you're on here tonight since you emailed it. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, going? How are you? It's Alon. How are you doing? It's been a while.
Alon, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
It's been a while. Dude,
man, you not at the hospital tonight?
I am. I'm sneaking in a phone call right now, so I do apologize if I have
to. Oh, wow.
Get going.
Well,
but
hopefully there'll be no emergencies while we're on the line.
Yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully
I know,
not.
It's great to hear your voice. I hope you've been doing well.
Yeah, it's great. It's been great, man. It's just I'm actually the interesting thing is I'm at the point where I'm using all my equity. Like and good deals are coming to me. In fact, I'm going up to Albany, which is about 3 hours north of where I am, to buy a multifamily property. And I'm getting to that point where I need more capital. Like I need people to invest because there's some great deals.
Uh-huh.
And like you said, the further you go away from the city, the deals are just that much better. So I just have like a 4-unit, 3 residential. One is for like a storefront potentially. 2 of them are rented. One person ran out of money, so one needs about $10,000 worth of work. Sparing you the details, people are starting. My parents have now pitched in, and friends of mine are talking about it. But I don't know if it's a common problem, but definitely it's my problem. when such good deals come, how do I get more people either excited or participate, especially when I'm a young investor still? You know, that's the thing I always get stuck in.
Well, here's a couple of things, okay? First thing is put together some information on some deals you've done and what you have going on.
Okay.
Like maybe a little, for lack of a better word, a little portfolio or whatever of the deals that you've done.
Okay.
And, you know,
sure.
The equity, what you've been able to buy them at, how you've acquired them, how you paid for them maybe, you know, and some things like that. And if you have other investors that have put up money, and it doesn't make any difference if it was your it's a family member, parents, or whatever, if they've invested money with you, have them write some sort of a testimonial.
Okay.
And that's a couple of things right there that you could do to to help kind of foster that. And then whenever you get this new deal, like this deal up in, did you say in Albany?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good market. That's a good market.
Yeah.
When you get that deal under contract, then put together a little package, meaning, you know, pictures of the property, a description of the property, the potential rent, the potential income, you know, expenses, what the cash flow is going to be, what their return on investment is, what their investment to value is, and and all that good stuff, just to kind of help show. And you know, you're really, I mean, you're in a perfect place. You're in a hospital with a bunch of doctors.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I some doctors are now coming up to me. Here's the thing about New York, and I'm going to say this is quite funny. It's like, in some ways, you would say, well, people are kind of nervous adventuring further away from the city because they see these prices go crazy up. But I say, guys, nothing cash flows here. Once you will, you know, admit you want to go somewhere else, and then they come, well, I don't know the neighborhood. You know, they start getting a little, you know, more nervous about, you know, different, like, areas that they don't know. So just like anything else, I just have to find and just outsource it, or not, so just keep promoting it. But it's funny, friends of mine are now finding out, and now they're coming up to me, but they first say, well, if you're going to go all the way, if you do the first one, I'll do the next one. I'm like, oh, come on, guys. You know? You know, I'm happy I got at least my parents on board, and it'd just be nice to just get more people. I think it's just like anything else. When the success happens and more of it, it just eventually people just come to you. I'm sure you don't have to call people. People just come to you now and ask you for deals, right? You know, it's they just want to see the success and see that it repeats.
Exactly. And listen, once you get one there at the hospital and you can get a testimonial from them, then they're going to be telling their friends, and then
exactly.
More people are going to be coming to you.
Exactly. And so I just got to be patient, but it's that's the one thing I got to work on. I work on patience, but I also have to work on my patience.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to say, don't be a patient, be the doctor.
There you go. There you go.
That's good.
Yeah, but... No, that's a great idea. I'll put some of the portfolio, put it some in like investment, you know, testimonials, and just do some PowerPoints and show people, hey, this is what I've done and what I'm planning on doing. So,
well, good.
That'll work. Thanks, man.
Man, that sounds great.
Oh.
That sounds great. Let me know if there's anything at all I can help you with, okay?
I have another specific question for you. So I bought a HUD property, like you've taught us before. And my HUD experience is like it takes forever, whether they release the utilities so I can check and do an inspection, or when there's a problem with it, it's like until they answer you back. So the agent that's working on it, I just found out she's not really that experienced with HUD. I guess the question is, isn't it true you can speak to someone in HUD and you don't have to do everything through email? Because
it's not true that you can speak to someone at HUD, but your agent can.
Right.
Your agent.
Yeah. And I just don't think she's being aggressive enough because there's a property that basically I put an offer in, they accepted it, and then the whole place was vandalized. So I wanted my money back. And this is the part, I didn't know that you're only supposed to put $500 down. I wanted to be aggressive to get it, so I put $3,000 down, which is my mistake. So we're trying to get an appeal to get that money back, given that, you know, and they're holding that money. And no matter what we write to them, whatever,
well,
she's doing everything through email.
Well, quite frankly, the property is supposed to be in the same general condition it was when you made the offer. So if it got vandalized afterwards, we actually had a situation like this come up recently, and we were able to get our deposit back because the property was not in the same condition it was when you made the offer.
Exactly, and that's the
case. So you should be able to get your money back.
How long did it take you to get your money back? Because we're like fighting it for about
How long out?
I think about a month and a half, maybe
longer. I don't really know, but I would ask your agent one more time. And if your agent can't do anything, have an attorney send them a letter.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. At least get an attorney letter. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
You know what? I have to just take another call. I'm sorry, but hopefully I'll join you guys one second. Okay, I'm sorry.
That sounds good. Good to talk to you. All righty then. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anybody?
Sure, Larry. I'll jump in.
Sure.
This is Eric Calfee, Smyrna, Tennessee.
How you doing?
Doing well. I am curious about the best ways, any additional tips or suggestions on locating those really motivated people who are not hitting MLS. Here in this area, any of the stuff that's hitting MLS, the competition is so big for it that it's very difficult to get something with a deal that is really wholesalable.
Where are you?
Pardon?
Where are you?
Smyrna, Tennessee, Nashville area.
Oh, okay, good, good. All right, I'm really glad you brought this up because I'm going to tell you guys some ways that you can find unadvertised properties because as the market tightens, you have to look for other sources other than the MLS because the MLS used to be the low-hanging fruit. But as the market continues to get tight, and it's tighter in some markets more than others, so as the market continues to get tight, you got to look for other sources. So here is probably the absolute best source to look for. You go to Melissa Data, melissadata.com, and you do a search and you look up all of the properties that are, you can do this for non-owner occupied or you can do it for non-owner occupied and owner occupied. And you do it for the properties that have been owned at least 7 years, okay? At least 7 years. Now, I would suggest starting with non-owner occupied, but you can do it with owner occupied, but you're going to get a lot fewer response. And then what you do is you pay for that list. It's something like a penny or a penny and a half per name. And then you direct mail them out a postcard, not a letter, but a postcard. And it says something along the lines of, I mean, there's all different kind of postcards out there you can mail, but something along the lines of, you know, you might say, my wife and I are looking for a house in your neighborhood, and, you know, I happen to notice that you own a property, but you live out of town. If you're interested in selling it, please let me know. Now, you can say you're an investor if you want to, or you don't have to. You know, just be truthful about it. I mean, you know, if you're not married, don't say my wife and I or whatever, or if you're female and you're not married, don't say my husband and I. But, you know, just say I'm looking for a property in your area, and, you know, I am a cash buyer. I can close very fast. If you're interested in selling your property, please give me a call. You know, or you might put your email down or your website down if you have a website, and mail those out. And that's where you can get a lot of good deals because the people are out of town. They don't want to list it on the MLS. They don't want to, you know, I have to, you know, go through that, dealing with the agent. They're already out of town, you know, I mean, and you're somebody that's contacting them right away. So, you know, if you catch them at the right time, and you might be able to negotiate a deal. And that's a good way to buy deals in a tight market.
When you say they're out of town, they're still coming to visit their property, so they'll look at the postcards, right? It's not like they have a secondary address where they may be.
Well, you're going to have the address of where the tax bill goes to.
Gotcha.
That's the address that it's going to go to, where the tax bill goes, which is going to be either probably where they live or a P.O. box. So cool. Try that and let me know how that works.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. No problem at all. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, I have a question for you. With multifamilies, in some parts of the country, for some reason, they're being very tight and they're not actually letting you either refinance or even get a commercial loan. Are you finding that to be like a general rule or, area specific? And if so, do you know someone on a national level that can assist you, if not locally?
Well, I do know that financing is tighter everywhere now, okay? Everywhere. So it's not just on multifamily or whatever. It's on single family, all different kind of commercial type properties. So I would just say ask wherever you're buying the property, ask around, maybe the local REIA group, Real Estate Investors Association, maybe, some local realtors, ask them, realtors who have investment property for sale. You might even want to call about properties just for the sole purpose of trying to talk to the agent and find out some lenders that they use. So that's another good source right there. But, yeah, lending is tight all the way around, and it's tough to, it's tough to get a loan right now, no matter who you are. So you just have to kind of look around and ask and see who's lending money, and always private money is good. If you can find some private money, that's good. So I hope that helped.
Yeah.
Cool.
That does.
Good. Anybody else have something?
Unless you have an attorney I could talk to for the, the case I just told you about.
No, I can't really think. Ask your real estate agent. Who is it? I mean, when you talk to the real estate agent about, getting your deposit back, if they don't sound favorable, say, well, what real estate attorney would you recommend so I could have them send a letter?
Exactly. That's a smart idea. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool. Anybody else have something?
Yeah, Larry, this is Kevin from Michigan.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, fine. Hey, I talked to you a while back about finding private lenders through a company like Equity Trust or that hold IRA money.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way you can contact these? I don't know how to go about getting people that have money in Equity Trust or, companies like that. Is there a way you can solicit that? I don't think Equity Trust will give you the names out, but how would you find people like that?
Well, the only real way to do it is it has to be looked up. So I would suggest going to the courthouse where you are and look up lenders under the name of Equity Trust, because all of their, like if a private lender is loaning money, it's going to be listed as Equity Trust, FBO, which stands for the benefit of, and then that person's name. So if you just look up Equity Trust, you'll be able to find any private lenders that are in that specific county. But you have to look it up by county. That's the only way to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is if you're interested in finding buyers for your properties, as well as lenders for properties, as well as private money and self-directed IRAs, is find some people you know that are selling turnkey properties and wholesale, okay? Like if you go to your local REIA group and XYZ Investments, they either sell turnkey or they do wholesale deals. Well, you go to the courthouse, whether it's online or in person, you go to the courthouse and you look up all of their properties and you see who their lender is. You see who they sold to, there's your buyer, and you see who the lender is on that property. There's your private money right there.
Okay, that's a good idea. I have another question. I have a commercial loan. You were talking about commercial loans. I have a commercial loan with two properties, and I thought we were going to have the five-year loan extended for another 5 years, but this bank I'm dealing with, First Merit, they don't want to extend the loan.
Right.
And so I'm in a dilemma now. I got to find some private money, but they won't. I'm trying to negotiate with them to extend it, but they won't extend. So I do have a possibility of one lender that will put up half the money for the one property, but I need to get somebody for the other one. So I had another guy that had the same problem. He was dealing with 11 properties, and it's a commercial loan. They went to court, and they were trying to extend this with him as well. I don't know if I want to go that far, you know, because I know it takes about a year in Ohio to, you know, foreclose on a property like that.
Right.
But I don't know what else to do here. If I don't come up with the rest of this money, I'm going to lose both these properties.
Okay, try this.
What's that?
Try this. Talk to the bank.
Sorry.
Talk to the bank and find out how much, what's the minimum you got to pay the loan down for them to renew the loan. So, I mean, it might be a $400,000 loan, and maybe they'll say, okay, if you bring us $50,000, we'll renew it.
Well, I have. That's what I thought about doing. It's $80,000. Well, it should be $75,000. They're adding these late fees in there because I didn't pay it off back, you know, months ago. I was supposed to pay it off. So they're adding like $5,000 in late fees on the. I never heard of this happening where they charge you 7% of the loan balance, which at this point it was like $72,000. I never heard they could even do that, and that's why we're trying to negotiate those late fees off. And then they did about $1,000 in appraisals on these two properties, and I didn't even ask for that. They just went ahead and did it. And
documents, if it says they can do it in your loan documents, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, but try to find out what's the least amount you can pay this loan down to. I mean, surely they will redo the loan if you put down, you know, another. If it's a $70,000 loan, you know, $10,000 or $15,000 or something, then go out and find a private money lender and give them either some equity or just set it up as a debt, as a second mortgage.
So if I can get a private lender to pay down one of the properties, they might carry the loan for the other property.
Right.
Because I'm, you know, putting that much money down.
There you go.
So that might work. Yeah, I could try that approach, I guess. But the way they made it sound like they wanted either both of these or none, but
well,
I might
have
to
approach. Here's another source right here. Since you're only talking about maybe needing to pay them down, you know, $10,000 or $15,000, go over to prosper.com or lending.com. And fill out an application on there and see if you can get some people to fund your deal for you.
Prosper.com and lending.com?
Lendingclub.com.
Lending Club. Okay. All right, I'll try that. Thanks for the information.
Oh, sure, man. No problem. Good luck with it.
Yep.
Anybody else have a question? Anyone?
I have another question, Larry, if nobody else is going to jump in there.
Sure.
Do you deal much with short sales?
No, not really. I've done some of them, but I'm not a big fan, so I don't do much of them.
Yeah. You were saying earlier that investors can't deal directly with the banks. So is that the same thing with short sales? They won't deal with you if you're dealing with somebody else's property that's in a short. It's in a foreclosure process. It's not really an REO yet. It's still in the foreclosure. But I was just trying to do this a while back, and the banks don't seem to be very flexible with investors.
Short sale's a little different in that they're selling a note, but they're still going to try to get the most they can on the short sale.
Yeah. Well, I dealt with one here a couple of years ago. I was trying to do a short sale with them, and it was like I offered them $59,000. I used to own the house, and I sold it for $80,000, and I was trying to buy it back the second time because the guy that I sold it to, he went into foreclosure. And then I offered $59,000. I had an offer for $69,000. Well, they wouldn't do anything with me with this. They kept, one department didn't know what the other department was doing, and it just like it went around and around. Finally, I didn't keep track of it for a while, and ended up the bank ended up taking the property back. They owned it as an REO. Then I found out later, and this really made me sick. They sold it for $14,000.
Wow.
The bank sold it for $14,000. Some other investor bought it because it became an REO at that point. But at the time of the foreclosure, they wouldn't even talk to me about $59,000. That's what I couldn't. It just didn't make no sense.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with these banks. One thing doesn't make sense to another. It's just, I don't know. But anyway, so much for that.
Yeah, really.
All right. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thanks.
You're very welcome.
I have a quick question, too.
Sure.
What do you find about refinancing when it comes to a mixed unit? Like I have this four units, it's three family, three of them is residential, one is a storefront. When it comes to paying all cash and then refinancing, is the underwriting that much more difficult that it's almost...
If part of it's commercial, now if it was just four units, residential units, that could be treated in a refi as a single family house or as a residential loan. But because one of them is retail, that's going to be a commercial loan. So you're going to have to find a commercial lender. And the best way to do that is to ask around some of your local real estate agents who are the best commercial lenders loaning on that type of property right now.
Right.
And I would try a broker. And the reason I would try a broker, yes, you're going to pay a point or two. However, brokers have many, many, many sources to go to find properties. Or not find properties, but to find the money. Whereas if you're dealing with a lender...
You mean a commercial broker?
A commercial real estate, a commercial mortgage broker.
Mortgage broker.
You know, because if you're just dealing with a lender, they only have their own program, their own loan program. But if you're dealing with a broker, they're gonna try to source your loan out, and they're gonna try to find you a loan that meets your needs so they can get their commission.
You're
not occupying the retail space, are you?
No, it's
okay. Because I was going
to
say, if you were, you could probably get an SBA loan.
What loan?
SBA, Small Business Administration.
Okay, gotcha.
But if you're not occupying part of it, you probably can't.
No, it's going to be out of town. I think the other question is, that's because if I put all my equity and I want to refinance it, and I said, wait a second, if it's a mixed property, it's a bit more complicated. Or not, it's just a different way to attack it. Do they, with the commercial loan, given the fact that there's a storefront, do they require you to have 75% or 80% equity, and they'll finance up to 80% or 50%? Or
50%? Well, it kind of depends on the deal. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on the property and you and their guidelines. So, you're just going to have to call around and try to find some sources.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, don't find 5 or 10 different sources and then email all 10 of them at once and carbon copy every one of them. Because I know when we do some hard money loans and we get people that email us and they got like 10 different lenders on there and saying, hey, I'm looking for a loan. Here's my criteria. Here's what I'm looking for. We just delete those because they're sending them out to 10 or 20 other people at the same time.
Gotcha.
So whatever you do, don't do that.
Okay.
Cool. I hope that helped.
No, it does. It does.
Good.
I had another question, but I can't remember it now.
That's all right. When you think of it, let me know. Anybody else got anything?
Oh, I have a question. This is it. So I have a tenant that I expressed interest in buying the property, but they just don't qualify for a loan. It was a property that I had to put in a tenant because I couldn't flip it, and I had a tenant there. But I coming to the February where they, you know, put it out on the market. How do I either? I mean, if they just need to prove their credit score, I've heard a few things that I can help them out with, but because you know, it'd be easier just to sell it to them. They already live there. They like it. They know what
right.
they're getting. I can also, like, you know, do a sales commission maybe. But do you know anyone that can, that A, can see if they qualify, and B, help them out so that if the credit score just needs, like, an extra 50 points?
Yeah, let me ask you this question. How long have they been living there?
Since February 2013.
Oh, okay, so February. So let's see, it's September, October, November, December, January, February. 5 more months and they'll be there a year, right?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you have a good pay history with them?
Do I have a what?
Do they have a good pay history with you?
Yes, they have a fabulous pay history.
Excellent. Did you do a lease option or did you do just a straight rental?
We did a straight rental for now. You know, that's
uh-huh.
what we did. We did a straight rental.
Well, here's what you might be able to do, okay? I've seen some people do this in the past that didn't have a lease option, but if you can find a lender that will treat a lease option that is over a year old as a refinance, then they can go in and refinance the property and pay you off your balance. You might have to put together a lease and an option agreement, but I've heard of some people doing this. And
how are the numbers work out? Let's just say, just to make it simple, it's gems on
the
property.
Well, the easiest thing is, let's see, how do I want to say this? the best thing about this is they treat it like a refi. So on a purchase loan, say they will loan 80%. But it's either based on purchase price or appraisal, whichever's less, okay? Purchase price or appraisal, whichever's less.
Right.
Well, say your lease option agreement is for $80,000, okay?
Okay.
And they're going to loan $64,000. But
okay.
if the appraisal is $100,000, okay?
Right.
They'll loan them $80,000 of that, or 80% of that, which is $80,000, so they could realistically get into the deal for no money down, as long as they've been there for a year. So I would just ask around and see if you could find some lenders that will that would do that.
Okay, and that seems a little bit more complicated. If their credit hasn't changed, I don't know how you.
Do you know how their credit is?
I don't. I was going to run it for them and just, you know, I mean, I probably, my property management has their credit history and all that because they run it.
Yeah, I would check and see what it is. And, it you know, hopefully it's better than even what it was when they moved in.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
7 months
like
ago.
I send the tenant, like, a whole thing about how to improve their credit, like a whole video and all that stuff to help them out.
Oh, well,
but,
cool.
Yeah. And,
hopefully they've taken advantage of that.
I hope so. But how about the other option? How about the other thing? I have a tenant that you know, he wants to buy it, but he pays me, but he's always late. So
really?
I want to sell my place, but I, you know, I don't think if he has a habit of paying me late, although he pays me, I don't think he's going to qualify for a mortgage.
Yeah, that's going to be a little tougher because they're going to want to know a pay history from you.
Well, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, it's always hard because a part of me wants to say, hey, listen, here's an incentive. You pay me on time for the next few months.
Sorry,
you
say
know,
that again?
Do this. Hmm?
Say that again?
I think one of the things is you try to change his habits so he starts paying on time and getting things better for him. But no matter how I spin it or do them, like he still, that's his habit. He pays, but he pays late. So
yeah.
A part of me just wants to be done with his lease and just you know, sell it myself or put a new tenant in.
One thing I've learned is as far as credit worthiness, good people don't just stop paying their bills overnight. And
right.
Bad people, they don't just start paying their bills overnight.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's more of a habit than anything that people get into.
Right, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So cool. I hope that helped.
Yep, it does.
Good. Anybody else got anything? It's been some good questions tonight. Anybody got anything?
Do you have $1 million? I'm 0% financing.
Not as far as you know.
Listen, if I don't ask, how will I know, right?
Exactly.
No, but it's nice, man, to hear your voice. It's been way too long. I mean, and trust me, I'm moving out of my place, and I still see your videos. I still read your material and check your stuff out online. So it's nice that your word and the education you provided has helped. It just now it's just always going to the next step, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, man. Anytime you need something, you just hit me up and let me know.
Likewise.
Yeah. That's good. Well, cool. Anybody have any questions? Anybody want to jump in with anything? All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you guys being on here tonight. And thank you so much for your business. Thanks for your confidence in me. Please don't hesitate to email me or call me if I can ever help you with anything. If you have any questions on a deal, an offer, analyzing a deal, negotiating, buying, selling, leasing, financing, whatever it is, you know, I'm more than happy to help you in any way that I can. So please don't hesitate to hit me up. So if I don't hear from you, I will talk to you guys in 2 weeks, and be sure and go out there and make a lot of offers. So thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Everybody have a great night.